Seven last things spoken by Jesus. Really an interesting 3 or 4 weeks for me. I went some places that I never thought I'd go as I studied this. Seven last words. They're also known as the seven last words, but either way, they give us as we've learned over the last 3 weeks at least, they've given us a remarkable, potent experience of Jesus fully God and fully human. And I think, above all else, that is the key to the seven last words, at least for me. This morning's phrase is no different. It's powerful. It's poignant. And it may be the phrase that is one of the more difficult ones for us to get our hearts and our heads around. Hence my study and where I went on my journey. But I'm excited for the challenge. And so I want to invite all of us together to see where the Spirit takes us this morning. So as we begin, I know, big surprise, I'm going to do it anyway. You know, I'm dead serious about this. I worked really hard because I like telling a joke about something in the sermon that can pull us all together as a community before we begin to look at what the Scripture tells us. And I think it helps us get on the same page. Have you ever looked for jokes about forsaken? Or go to a joke and try and find one about abandonment? They're either absolutely awful or they don't exist. And for me, it was the Spirit telling me this is a time that's not funny. And so I chose not to. And thank you for that, because I wasn't sure I wanted to explain that, but Spirit's good, and there we are. So as we begin, I want each of us to take a moment or two and reflect on this, the fourth thing Jesus spoke from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Has anybody ever felt forsaken by God? Okay, maybe that word forsaken is too out there for you. It's too nebulous or too big. What about this? Have you ever felt that God was not listening to your cry? To the ache in your heart, to that emptiness that you feel inside that just doesn't go away, to the depth of your aloneness, to that guilt that you carry way down deep inside, to the all-consuming anger in you. To your physical body betraying you. to your mind, your brain losing your memory, losing yourself. What about that beautifully planned retirement that you set up years ago? It's gone. Is God listening to that unexplained hate and killing in this world? My God, have you forsaken us? To those you love making decisions, destructive choices, in order to escape all this. Hey God, are you out there? Are you listening? Where are you? God, do you even care? Did you ever care? Hey God, I can't hear you. I can't feel you. I can't even see you. Hey God. Hey God. Let's come back together. Any of that sound familiar? Did it take you someplace familiar yet really uncomfortable that you don't like to visit? It does me. If it does you, I got good news for you. You're not alone. And I suspect that if we're all being honest with ourselves, at some point in our lives, we've wondered whether God is really listening. Okay, God, I can get it. Sometimes I'm praying a prayer that I think's important, but if I think about it, it's really not. So I get it when you don't answer that prayer. But what about some of these other things that are so deeply important to us? God, are you out there? Are you listening? I want to share a really powerful story of one such person. Teresa of Calcutta, the founder of Missionaries of Charity, enjoyed a special relationship with God. She had several mystical experiences of intense, intense closeness with Him. She even experienced what is called a locution. Had to look it up. She actually heard Father God speaking to her, the voice. She heard God's voice talking to her and telling her something. The story doesn't say what it is, but what an intense connection with God that must have been for her. And then nothing. Nothing. The last 50 years or so of her life, nothing. Until her death, she felt a sense of great emptiness in her prayer time. At one point, she wrote to a confidant, "In my soul, I feel just terrible pain of loss. Of God not wanting me. Of God not being God. Of God not really existing." Are you kidding me? Mother Teresa? The Mother Teresa. The only one. Mother Teresa wonders whether God even exists anymore. Talk about expressing abandonment feelings and a time of great darkness for her. Now, to her credit, I will tell you that she never stopped her prayer time. She continued in that prayer time regardless of what her personal feelings were for that time. She moved very close to, but never got to, total despair. In time, her questions about God's existence faded. And she came to see this most difficult of experiences of her lifetime as an opportunity to connect more closely with Jesus in his abandonment on the cross. She also took it as an opportunity to connect more closely with the poor that she served, who felt abandoned. Should I say, still feel abandoned. Mother Teresa did not abandon God. God did not abandon Mother Teresa, even when she could not feel or sense his presence. In faith and in hope, she dared to fulfill her life's work to which God had called her. In faith and in hope, she dared to fulfill her life's work to which God had called her, even though when she prayed to God, she did not have a sense that God was present. I don't know about you, but that's goosebumpy to me. Wow. The scripture reading, various scriptures say the same thing. I happen to use Mark 15, 33 and 34. If you're at Matthew, it'll read exactly the same, almost. That is because Mark and Matthew were writing similarly and used each other's papers as helps, if you will, as they wrote their own. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Wow, God, on the surface, these verses leave us with a lot of questions. Guide us as we seek answers this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. Two verses. Two little itty-bitty verses. How can they be so hard, so difficult to understand? Was Jesus really, truly forsaken by God? Wow. Okay, let's stop right here and look at the takeaways from this morning. First, to debate whether Jesus at the end was truly forsaken by God or just felt he was forsaken by God is to miss why Jesus used one of his last breaths to cry out loud to God using this particular phrase. The debate of which one that is not what's important. In fact, as I studied, that is to me one of the stupidest, least important debates in the Bible. Interesting to hear what Bill has to say about that when he gets here. I think it is what Jesus did with that feeling and or that reality that is the point of this phrase. In faith and in hope, Jesus dared. Jesus continued and fulfilled that which God the Father called him to do. In the midst of utter, I don't even know the word, I don't know that there is a word that talks about what Jesus felt. In the pain, in the hours that he had already been on the cross, the pain, the mental, the spiritual, the physical, excruciating doesn't even go there. I don't know that there is a word that says how terrible that was, and yet in one of his last breaths, he shares with all of us and with his loving God the Father, why have you forsaken me? And then he goes on and does what he's called to do anyway. That's the point of this phrase. We are called to dare the same. How is it that we are capable of such acts? Because Jesus did it. Jesus did it. And he did it. And before he did it, he said, I will send the Holy Spirit as a comforter and a power for you so that you will do greater things than I. That's the power that we have at our fingertips, at our disposal, in our hearts, so that we can dare to be what Jesus calls us to be in this world. For some, that might be to give your life up on a cross. It doesn't happen all that often these days, but it happens plenty enough. I don't know what God calls you to. But whatever it is, dare to fulfill it. Not necessarily because you feel like it. Not necessarily because you're all excited about it. God, are you really calling me to go ask forgiveness of that person that I hurt? Maybe not that one, but I'll do another one. dare to do what God calls you to do, even if it is uncomfortable. Because Jesus did it to the very uncomfortablest that is ever possible. And he dares us to do the same. Second, there is great comfort in this story. I know that sounds weird, but I find great comfort in this story. Jesus understands our body suffering. He understands our spiritual suffering. He understands our feelings of forsakenness, abandonment. There is nothing we can do or have done to us that has not been experienced by Jesus. And I find that comforting because that's who we pray to. We pray to a Jesus that understands everything we are pouring our guts out to him about. Why we can go to Jesus in any circumstance. No matter how bad we think we have been, how guilty we feel, how piled on top we've done things to try and cover up how bad we feel about what we've done. Jesus has been there, done that. He gets it. He gets when people have hurt him and he forgives them anyway. He knows how hard that is. He was hanging on a cross dying in the worst way you can possibly imagine, and yet he did it anyway. We can come before the Lord in prayer in any circumstance, even when we feel forsaken. Maybe especially when we feel forsaken. Third, and this is again a shameless plug because that's what I do. If you are walking a dark road right now, even one that you are so ashamed of that you couldn't possibly vision a person wanting to even hear that story out loud, much less be willing to sit with you in conversation about whatever that dark road is, about that ashamedness, whatever that might be. I want you to come talk to me. I want you to seek out Dorothy Ng, Val Boss. I can go and name, I'm looking right at Lynn Viginelli. There are Stephen ministers plastered all over this place. I used to say that they have 50 hours of training to be able to come alongside and walk your journey with you. We are so past 50 hours of training, folks. We've got folks with at least 100 hours of training, not counting the time that they're with their care receiver. That's a lot of hours of training to listen to your ache, your heartache, your story. Let us come alongside and walk your journey with you. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. my God, why have you forsaken me? You tired of hearing that? Doesn't it just grate on you a little bit? Ugh, it's uncomfortable. Forsaken is defined as abandoned or deserted. Did God really abandon or desert Jesus, his beloved Son? According to Reverend James Martin, he is a Jesuit priest. In his book, The Seven Last Words, there are two main ways to understand Jesus' question. First to know is that he quotes the first line of Psalm 22. We won't take time to read that entire psalm this morning. However, if you read it in light of what Jesus has just said on the cross, it's a rather eye-opening chapter. This is a psalm that any religious Jew would immediately recognize and know. The psalm begins with this phrase, "Why have you forsaken me?" that expresses the frustration of one who feels abandoned by God. However, the second part of this psalm is a hymn. It's a hymn of thanksgiving and of praise to God because God has heard my cry. Verse 24, "For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help." In this interpretation, Jesus is taking the whole psalm as a prayer of one who cried out to God and was heard. Jesus expresses confidence in God. The psalm is not so much an expression of abandonment as it is an expression of hope in God. Thought about this for a while, and in a much less dramatic and dreadful circumstance, it might be like you and me crying out in our distress, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then upon hearing that cry, some of us might fill in the next line, "Shall not want." Some of us might take a moment to recite the whole thing in our head, or maybe out loud, or just move our lips. That's how important those psalms are to the Jewish community. They would know them and recognize them. "The Lord is my shepherd." That's all I have to say. Maybe you want to say more. "I shall not want." I confess that when I am in distress, especially in pain, for instance, I'm at the doctor, or I am wishing I'm at the doctor and I haven't gotten there yet, my go-to line is, "Peace like a river. Peace like a river." That is part of the first line of the hymn of that name. I got peace like a river in my soul. I never get that far. I got peace. Peace like a river. If you ever hear me crying this over and over, you know I'm in a really, really crummy place. That's one interpretation There's another interpretation. And from what I gather as I read, it is more accepted as an interpretation. And it is the one in which Jesus really does feel abandoned by God. How can that be? Well, let's look. It's now been 9 hours since Jesus was nailed to the tree. I don't think I could last 10 minutes. In fact, I know I couldn't. 9 hours. Crowds continue to mock and deride him. Darkness has covered the land. The pain is beyond anything we can explain. Suddenly, after a long silence, comes this anguished cry from the very depths of our Savior's soul. At his lowest, his mind seems to automatically revert to the psalm. And from it, he says the words that express the anguish, not now from his body, but from his very soul. Eloi, Eloi, why have you forsaken me? Of this moment, Calvin wrote that he bore in his soul the terrible torments of a condemned and lost man. Wow. Okay, to do this topic justice, let's explore this debate a little further. First, I do not think Jesus being abandoned by God means that the eternal relationship between Father and Son and Spirit was broken. God could not cease to be triune. He could not cease to be three. Second, I do not think it meant that the Father stopped loving the Son, especially not here, not now, when his Son is literally the greatest example of ultimate obedience to his Father the world will ever know. Third, it does not mean that the Holy Spirit had stopped ministering to the Son. John 1:32, the Spirit had come down upon Jesus at his baptism, not merely for one fleeting moment, but to remain on him. And he would be there to the last, Hebrews 9:14, he would be there to the last as the eternal Spirit through whom the Son offered himself to God. And finally, when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, Abba, Father, everything is possible with you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but your will. Abba, Father. Daddy, Father, that's personal, intimate. Let's go to crying out to God from the cross. Jesus uses Eloi, Eloi, my God, my God. True, Jesus uses the formal term for God, El, E-L. God the Almighty. God the Almighty. Even so, he still calls him my God. He's still in conversation with him. He is still in relationship with him. Though he may not have been able to feel his presence, the pain may have hidden God's promises, somewhere in the depths of Jesus' soul, there remained the assurance that God was holding on to him. You ever felt that? Oh my God, this is the worst thing that I can imagine ever happening to me. God, I don't know what's going on, but I'm glad you're here with me. What was true for Abraham when he was called by God to build an altar on the top of the mountain and sacrifice his son Isaac was even truer still of Jesus. Romans 4:18. Against all hope, he in hope believed. Against all hope, he in hope believed. Yet even with all of these qualifiers, we can still believe Jesus did not merely feel forsaken. He was forsaken, and not only by his disciples, but by his God himself. It was the Father who delivered him up to Judas, to the Jews, to Pilate, and finally to the cross. And now he is before El, not his beloved son, but as the sin of the world. I think it was Pastor Bill, in one of his sermons a long time ago, talked about if we were to try and carry our own sin to God, our sin would crush us. Each one of us just would be crushed by the weight of our sin standing for God. Can you imagine carrying that burden? I cannot. And yet now we have Jesus carrying the sin of the whole world. We are talking sin past. This is capital S, folks. Sin past, sin present, sin future. He carried it all. This is Jesus Christ's identity now before El. The sin of the entire world stands before God the Holy. It is not that he is vaguely related to sinners. He is one of them. Indeed, he is all of them. He is all of us. Corinthians 5:21. He is sin, condemned to bear its curse, and he has no cover. There was no countering voice. No word came from heaven to remind him that he was God's beloved son. No dove came down to assure him that the Spirit was still with him in doing Spirit ministry. No angel came down to strengthen him. In the book, Your Sorrow Will Turn to Joy, one of the authors said that Jesus must bear all, and El, God the Almighty, will not, cannot spare him till the ransom is paid in full. God was forsaken by God in that moment. That's the quote. What do you think of the debate? Do you have a side? Did God truly forsake Jesus on the cross? Or did Jesus, facing his imminent death, only feel forsaken by his Father? Now, you have grown accustomed to pastors giving you answers on Sunday morning. Surprise! I'm not going to. For one reason, I really don't have the answer. I have what I think is the answer written down. And I've chosen not to share that because this Lent, I think as we head toward Easter, let's, particularly as we head toward Maundy Thursday, let's think about this question. Maybe it's a question for supper in the upper and a great debate. Roland, Jim, you guys up for that? Might be great. I close with this. First, to debate whether Jesus at the end was truly forsaken by God or just felt he was forsaken by God is to miss why Jesus used one of his last breaths to cry out loud to God using this particular phrase. I think it is what Jesus did with that feeling and or that reality that is the point. In faith and in hope, Jesus continued and fulfilled that which God the Father called him to do. We are called to dare the same. How is it that we are capable of such great acts? Because Jesus sent his Holy Spirit as comforter and power, so that we can do things greater than Jesus did. There is comfort for us in this story. Jesus understands our suffering, spiritual and bodily. He understands our feelings of abandonment, and there is nothing that we can do or we can have done to us that we can't go to God and talk about. We can even talk about feeling forsaken by God. We can especially talk about feeling forsaken by God. And third, if you walk a dark road, even one you are so ashamed of that you don't think anybody could possibly stand to hear it, much less want to talk about it, I got people. And I promise you, they are ready to confidentially walk your dark road with you. Your dark journey will be less dark if you walk it with another. You've heard me say that many times. It is true. Please let us help you. And as you ponder asking for help, remember Romans 4:18. Against all hope, he in hope believed. Amen. Amen.